Are you someone who loves Christmas? To the point that you really hate to take the decorations down, even if it is January 15th? If you answer yes, you are a Noelophile. And so am I. And this show is for you. Hi, I'm Dot Cannon, also known as Noella Noelophile. And welcome to my Noelophile podcast. On this show, we're going to be talking about Christmas in general and California Christmas in particular.
Bridget decides on Christmas Eve night that she's going to peek at the Christmas tree to see the presents Santa left them. And unfortunately, there are no presents under the tree, but what she does discover along with Basil is that the cookies are missing and somebody must have taken them and eaten them.
You've just heard author and artist Ellie Lieberman describing the premise of her latest children's book, The Way the Cookie Crumbles. This is the third in her Basil Bassett children's series, which Ellie writes and illustrates. But while The Way the Cookie Crumbles is an enchanting Christmas story, her children's books are only one aspect of the magic Ellie creates. She's also written a number of novels and short stories, including the Christmas story The Memory Tree and her just-published novel An Impossible Dream. Meanwhile, as an artist and maker, Ellie is the proprietor of handmade small business Acorn Tops, where she sells all kinds of handcrafted fairy-inspired creations, which, as her website says, are designed to enchant your world. Ellie, how did you first get inspired to create your Basil Bassett series?
The Basil Bassett series, I got inspiration from it from a book I actually found at a library sale called Who Put the Butter in Butterfly that talked all about word origins and wordplay and word origins and things about words just delight me greatly. And learning about the origins of the word butterfly, along with my love of Basset Hounds, especially my first Basset, Basil, I was very inspired to start with The Butter Thief, which talks about the origin of the word butterfly. And then from there, I went with the origin of the word dandelion. And the newest book, The Way the Cookie Crumbles, has sort of expanded from etymology and word origins to things like idioms and figurative language and stuff like that.
How much fun. Tell me more about Basil before we go on. What was he like?
Basil was probably your stereotypical Basset Hound. He was very, very fat, long ears dragging on the ground, very goofy, very stubborn, pretty much ate everything. We used to joke around that our Basset Hounds were like goats. They would try to eat everything and be fine.
Sounds a little bit like the animals we share our space with over here. I'm going to start your series here by looking, first of all, at The Way the Cookie Crumbles, since that's the first of your Basil Bassett Hound books I've read. You start that with a dedication to the cookie monster in your family. I wish you'd tell me more about this person.
That would be my pop-pop. His name was Richard Manning Austin, and he was amazing. He was just absolutely incredible. And unfortunately, he and my grandmother both died when I was younger. But what was really special, especially around Christmas time, is how often my mom would keep them alive through stories and traditions and things like that.
What was your favorite story that she would tell about them?
Oh, there are so many countless ones. That is a very good question. Well, for my pop-pop in particular, there was a story she used to tell us that he once planted seeds in the garden and he did not label what I believe they were mystery seeds. So he planted them to see what would come up, and what came up appeared to be some sort of pepper. And so when they were finally ripe, he took a giant bite of it and it wound up being a hot pepper. And he screamed and yelled and everything. And it was just, I always thought that was a very funny story.
That's a great one. And Pop-Pop in the story is kind of a central figure, a kind of wisdom figure. What's happening with Bridget and Basil when we get to The Way the Cookie Crumbles?
Well, Bridget decides on Christmas Eve night that she's going to peek at the Christmas tree to see the presents Santa left them. And unfortunately, there are no presents under the tree, but what she does discover along with Basil is that the cookies are missing and somebody must have taken them and eaten them. And so she goes around and tries to figure out who took the cookies. And she thinks it might be a fairy since she's had some interactions with them. And then by the end of the book, she finds out that it was actually her pop-pop who made a mistake. And sometimes mistakes happen and they need to figure out a solution to move on from there.
What I love about all three of your books is there's a lesson in each of them, but not a preachy lesson. It kind of happens without you realizing you've just been taught something new.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
What was one of the best lessons you learned at Christmas time about imagination and creativity that you carry with you today as an artist and a writer?
Oh, wow. I mean, the entire season is just so magical and lends itself to keeping that childlike wonder of the world. I think, especially in the times we're in now, we need to take hope and joy where we can find it. And sometimes that's playing Christmas music early and setting up trees early. And I think that's a big part of it. But I also think another really important lesson that comes from the holidays is to remember those who came before us as well and never lose that connection with them.
In fact, I was intrigued because your grandfather, you call him Pop Pop. That's what I called mine. I can't remember him. He passed when I was a year, but I've always felt his hand in my life, if that doesn't sound too weird.
No, not at all. I mean, with my business, Acorn Tops, I use his carving tools to make my fairy doors and my ornaments and stuff like that. And like with cookies and everything too, every time we eat a cookie, I can't help but think of him. And just those little reminders of things, even when there's things that you don't necessarily remember. And like the stories that come up too, just naturally through that. Like the idea too, there was a great story about my pop-pop. When he passed away, we went into his basement, which was like his workshop, because he did a lot of woodworking and worked on miniatures and things like that, and model ships. And when they were cleaning out, the family was cleaning out his stuff, they found all these cookies stashed everywhere that he was hiding from my grandmother. So when I say he's a cookie monster, he's definitely a cookie monster. But yeah, it's just, I think even when we don't necessarily have memories of them, there's ways we still can feel that connection, which I think is very important as well.
I would have to agree. What about the facts that you share at the very end of The Way the Cookie Crumbles? There's some fun facts about cookies, and we're not going to share them all because that's a spoiler, but I'm going to ask you to share one.
Let's see. I think one of the facts that I thought was really cool that I shared at the end was the idea that pizzelles, known as Italian wafer cookies, are the oldest cookie known in the world.
Ooh, I've had those. Those are incredible. If somebody offers you a pizzelle, say yes, because they are amazing. What about the elements of enchantment and imagination and joy? What about the fairy dust? How did that first come into the creative process for you?
I have been enamored by fairies for as long as I can remember. It was always part of the magic, like with gardening and stuff like that. And for my business, Acorn Tops, my logo is actually an image of a little girl kneeling down by a fairy door at the bottom of a tree. And that was something that was given to me by my grandmother. And that has sort of sparked an ongoing love of fairies as well. And so when I found out about, like, in The Butter Thief, for instance, one of the origins was this idea that fairies and witches would turn into butterflies to steal butter. It just sort of all clicked together, and I knew I had to include them in some way and have a reoccurring theme throughout the rest of the series.
And you introduce an enchanting fairy in The Way the Cookie Crumbles. I won't ruin it. I just wish that someday you would make a fairy doll through Acorn Tops because you've drawn her. She's absolutely gorgeous.
Oh, that would be amazing. I should definitely do that.
Maybe some fairy ornaments and some basset ornaments. Just a thought. Oh,
definitely. Definitely have some ideas for those.
So I'll look forward to seeing that. By the way, people can find your fairy doors and your stickers that go with your Basil Basset series. Where?
On my Etsy shop. That is Acorn Tops through Etsy. And you should be able to find a little logo and yeah.
I thought that was a lot of fun. Now, I had never in my life heard of brimstone butterflies until I read The Butter Thief. Are those something that you found back east, or how did you first come across those?
So in researching about the butterflies and specifically why they were associated with butter, I have learned about brimstone butterflies, which I believe have their origins more in areas of Britain and Wales and Scotland, I believe. But we actually have similar butterflies here in the U.S. from the Paradae family, which I believe are known as the sulfur butterflies. And those are the ones you see flapping around that have the really yellow wings.
Ooh, I'll have to look for those the next time I'm outside. Let's look at the butter thief a little more closely, too. You have Bridget and her mom doing something that it wouldn't have occurred to me if I were writing a story to give my main characters an activity. Why churning butter?
That had to go along with the origin of the word butterfly. One of the theories for why butterflies got their name was this idea that they would show up around the time people would start churning butter. And to really tie that into the story itself, I made that be an activity that they did. And especially because butter is like cookies in my family, something my family absolutely adores. My great-grandmother used to joke around that you have a little bit of biscuit with your butter. So that also came into play with it as well.
You mentioned that in your book. It's great. What about Basil? Poor dog. He always gets blamed for everything he didn't do and a few things he did. Was the real life Basil like that?
To a certain extent, though, I will say in defense of all Basset owners, chances are if food goes missing, it is probably the Basset Hound. sort of like in the end of The Lion's Tooth, where you find out who the true pest of the mother's garden was.
And I won't do a spoiler. I won't say whether it's Basil or not. That's interesting. The Lion's Tooth. You call that book that because?
It's the origin of the word dandelion, which means tooth of the lion or lion's tooth.
Dandelion or something like that. My French is not wonderful. You have so far, I think, a summer, a spring, and a wintertime book in the Basil Basset series. We're looking for a fall one. Is there going to be one?
There will probably be a fall one down the line. The next one in the series is actually going to be focused on Hanukkah, but I would not rule anything out for this series.
Tell me more about the Hanukkah book, please.
That one is going to be called The Helper, which has to do with the Shamash, I'm probably mispronouncing that horrifically, candle that is the middle candle on the menorah. And it is known as The Helper because it is the candle you use to light the other candles.
Now, I really don't know very much about Hanukkah at all. I'd love to know more about it from you.
Oh, yeah. Hanukkah is a wonderful holiday. It is sometimes known as, I believe, the Festival of Lights. And it has this great story tied to it that deals with history and sometimes with language, with learning the dreidel and everything like that, and having to do with miracles.
Wow. So I see a real parallel between some of the other holidays we celebrate this time of the year. When will you have your new book out about Hanukkah?
The hope is that that'll be out in time for Hanukkah next year.
Wow. So 2024, be looking for something exciting. I feel like we're kind of not talking much about the Lion's Tooth at all as we look at your Basil Basset books. What would you like people to know about the lesson in that and what's happening with Bridget and her mom?
So the idea of the Lion's Tooth is that Bridget and her mom are gardening, and Bridget has her own garden full of wildflowers, including her absolutely favorite flowers, dandelions. And she notices that it seems that something has taken giant bites out of her dandelion leaves. And so now she has to go and figure out who is eating her dandelions. And Basil gets blamed, of course.
Of course.
And there is a fairy magical element behind it. And I always feel that part of the lesson in that is about sharing spaces and the idea that nature does not belong just to us, even when it's a garden that we are intending for our own use.
Indeed, lesson given that's very gently offered, but also something I think people will remember. What inspired you the most as a child to become the artist and the creative that you are?
I credit a lot of that to my mother. She is a very creative individual. I grew up listening to her stories, she's a writer and author herself. And we used to have a deal going that I would get to stay up past my bedtime to hear the stories that she would write, what she would write in her stories that day, if I kept brushing her hair. And I say I became a writer at my mother's keyboard. I remember falling asleep to the sound of her keys tapping. And I remember being so excited to hear what happened next in her stories. And that really was a huge inspiration for me to start writing. She's also very incredible. She's a very incredible artist. And we come from a family of makers and artists. My grandfather did model ships. He and my grandmother had a whole miniature business in the 70s and 80s that my mom took over when my grandmother started to get sick. And it's been in our family for as long as I can remember, creating and magic making in words.
If a child is reading one of your books today, in what ways would you most like to inspire that child to become a creative like you are?
I think I would love for them to hold on to their curiosity and wonder of the world. I would love for them to look for the everyday magic in things such as baking and gardening and even just walking down the street. Especially with my Basil Bassett book series, I would love to inspire them to get creative with words and wordplay and have fun with that as well.
I love the idea of checking the etymology of words and just seeing the magic of where that happens, because that's something that's intrigued me my whole life.
Absolutely. And what is also really amazing about things like etymology and word origin is the more we can understand the words at our disposal, not only are we better at using them, but we're better at understanding new words we encounter in our everyday, how to say them, what their meaning is, things like that. And I also think it helps to really drive home an appreciation for language. And I believe that when we appreciate our own language, the languages that we grow up with, the more likely we are to be able to appreciate languages other people have and where that comes from, and understanding and honoring that as well.
What's always intrigued me is how similar words are around the world.
Absolutely.
What about the creative process with you? When you're going to write a new Basil Bassett book, how's it happen? Are you first drawing? Are you jotting down notes? What's going on?
So the very first thing I do is I write the story itself. I write my manuscript as the story comes to me. And once I have it all written, I start to separate the words into the images that the words lend themselves to, and sort of make notes for that. And that really is my process for illustrating. And with the Butter Thief, I was using acrylic paints. So it was sketching and then taking the sketches and painting them. The Lion's Tooth and The Way the Cookie Crumbles, and probably continuing to go forward with the Basil Bassett book series, I use digital artwork, which is me doing a sketch by hand on paper. I normally scan it into my computer, take a picture with my phone. I upload it to the art program I use, which is Krita. And I use my drawing pad to basically do what I do with the painting when it's acrylic, which is, you know, outline it and use some of the special tools they offer to do digital artwork for the illustrations. And then from there, I drop it in and, yeah, finish up the manuscript the way I would any other book, with formatting and editing and stuff like that.
Let's be sure and give your Acorn Tops website. You've mentioned your Etsy store, and any other shameless plug you'd like to put in here for your books.
You can find my books on Amazon, both ebook and paperback. And all of my books are available through Kindle Unlimited KU. You can also order any of my books through your local library or your favorite local bookstore. And that helps not only support authors by getting the books in that system and by also helping through sales and stuff, but that also helps support the local businesses in your area as well. Keep a lookout for new Basil Bassett books. And if you follow me on social media, you'll get to see some sneak peeks of the upcoming works. Let's see, you can find me on Goodreads under Ellie Lieberman. I'm also on Facebook, Twitter, Tumblr, Instagram, TikTok, and a few others probably that I'm not remembering. You can also follow my, you can find me on Ko-fi, and my author website is ellielieberman.weebly.com. And that's where you can see a little bit about my upcoming books, my blog, and stuff like that. And then, of course, there is the newest novel that came out, An Impossible Dream.
Congratulations on that, by the way. What would you like people to know about An Impossible Dream?
This is my biggest book yet. It is the sort of prequel of my novel, Bee. It is book two in Bee book series. It's a sort of Cinderella retelling, following a character that is very important, but only mentioned in the first book. And this one is recently released and can also be found, like the Basil Bassett book series, on Amazon and Goodreads.
Let's fast forward time by 5 years. If you could have anything in the world happen with your books, with your art, with anything you're doing creatively, what happens?
Oh, gosh, that's a long list. Let's see. If I'm dreaming here, I wouldn't mind if somebody decided to pick up my books and make a, you know, mini series through a streaming network. I would love, there's some YouTube singers out there who make like songs based off books. I wouldn't mind that. Fan art, fan fiction written about it. People telling me, like, yeah, I would love for my children's books to inspire children to do, you know, their own writing. If somebody decide, you know, read the Basil Bassett book series and decide to get a college degree in linguistics, stuff like that would be awesome. Long list full of fanciful dreams and stuff like that.
Full of exciting dreams that may be the template for the future. Final question. What's your absolute favorite way of sprinkling fairy dust on Christmas season at your house?
Every year we put up our Christmas tree. The tradition is to do it the day after Thanksgiving. And all of our ornaments are full of memories. Every year we get a new ornament that has something to do with where we've been or who we are that year. And so our tree just becomes a tree full of memories. And we reminisce every time we put it up, telling the same stories again and again. Something else that I have very fond memory of when it comes to the magic of the holidays is we used to make something called reindeer food, which was a mixture of oats and sprinkles and glitter. And on Christmas Eve night, we would go outside wherever we were living, didn't matter if it was an apartment or a house. And we would sprinkle this mixture out front wherever we lived. And the idea was that it would attract Santa's reindeer and lead him to where you are.
Oh, I love it. What a great creative idea. Ellie, thank you for your time today.
Thank you so much.
You and I have been listening to Ellie Lieberman, creator of the Basil Bassett children's book series and author of the just published novel, An Impossible Dream, as well as numerous other novels and short stories. Ellie is also the proprietor of the small business Acorn Tops, which offers all kinds of handmade magical creations. Find out more about her books, her hand-carved fairy doors, fabric ornaments, and much more at acorntops.weebly.com. And be sure you look for The Way the Cookie Crumbles, the third book in her Basil Bassett series, to put under the tree or read aloud to a favorite small creative in your life. Once again, that's acorntops.weebly.com. And that concludes this edition of Noella File. Thank you for listening. And may your Christmas season be scented with homemade cookies, handcrafted with love, and above all, magical.